Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday indeed from 96.5 The Fan. That's the sounder of the Fesco and Dusty poll question this week, which is, which team do you hate more as a Chiefs fan, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Cincinnati Bengals? There's been 131 votes so far this morning. 80.2% say the Philadelphia Eagles, 19.8% say the Cincinnati Bengals. So times are a-changing when it comes to the hatred of the fan base. We move on to a man who wrote a book called Brady versus Belichick, The Dynasty Debate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A New York Times bestselling author and Gary Myers, the book released on September 16th. Gary, how are you this morning? Thanks for joining our show.
Oh, my pleasure. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great, man. I want to get right to it with this book. In your opinion, who's more credible for the dynasty, Brady or Belichick?
Well, you know, clearly they both had they both made the two biggest contributions of anybody during that 20-year period, and they certainly did need each other. But I think when you break it down like I did in this book, and you try to figure out, okay, who's responsible for this Super Bowl, who's responsible for this one, and all that, it really comes down to that it was Brady, and then the issue is, you know, what percentage would you assign him of – you know, for those 20 years in the 9 AFC championships and the 6 Super Bowls. I'm not going to give you the number, but it is closer than a lot of people think.
Okay.
And, yeah.
But what about Belichick being at North Carolina now, and we're watching what's happened with him and Brady removing from, you know, New England and going and winning a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick? I would think it has to be totally skewed in the favor of Tom Brady based on what's happened since the two split up.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people do feel that way, except I don't. I don't think what happened when Belichick was in Cleveland before he got to New England and then the 13 games that Drew Bledsoe started, I don't think that should factor in. And I certainly don't think what happened after they split up factors in. It's irrelevant to the argument that I've, you know, trying to settle here. And that's his, you know, who's responsible and who deserves the most credit for what they accomplished together. Now, what Brady did by winning a Super Bowl in Tampa and Belichick getting fired in 4 years after 4 years without Brady in New England, it might prove to a lot of people that he can't win a Super Bowl or have success without Brady. I mean, certainly you can make a very strong argument, but
go ahead.
It doesn't have anything to do with what they accomplished together.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's what I really took a deep dive into.
Do you see a lot of similarities with Brady and Belichick, as in like maybe in Kansas City with Mahomes and Andy Reid?
Well, certainly, but you know, they're the best comparison we can come up with, you know, today. You know, prior to Brady and Belichick, it was Walsh and Montana. But Mahomes and Reid have a long way to go. I mean, they're only halfway there to the number of championships that Brady and Belichick won together, and they've been to 5 Super Bowls together, and Brady and Belichick went to nine. Now, you might say that the Chiefs are taking a step backwards, which, you know, I think it's definitely true, but it doesn't mean they can't kind of reinvent themselves in another year or two, because if you remember, the Patriots went 10 years between their third and fourth championships. Now, during that period of time, they got to 5 AFC championships and 2 Super Bowls. So they, you know, they continued on that path. They just couldn't get over the hump, you know, in the biggest games during that period of time over 10 years. But then they won 3 championships in the second half of the dynasty. So teams can, you know, reload, so to speak, and get re-energized and go on another run. So that could happen to the Chiefs. But until it happens, we can't say that, you know, they're anywhere close to what Brady and Belichick did.
Do you consider what the Chiefs are doing right now a dynasty?
A dynasty? A dynasty, I think, is what happened in New England over a 20-year period.
That's not sustainable in any sport for 20 years. I mean, that's an anomaly more than a dynasty, I would think, Gary.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. And, you know, I guess if we're looking to establish, you know, dynasties, and what the Chiefs have done, getting to 5 and winning 3 over, say, an 8 or 9 year period, I mean, I guess you consider that a dynasty of sorts, but more of a short-term dynasty.
Yeah, but well, who else would be in consideration for a dynasty then? I mean, we're talking about one team that kind of changed the record on everything, and that's all we compare everybody to. If we continue to use like New England as that litmus test, then nobody's ever going to be better than New England for the most part because of what they've accomplished.
Well, I mean, I think the Steelers had a dynasty in the 70s and the Niners in the 80s and the Cowboys in the 90s. I mean, those
were short term too. Those were very short term. I mean, the Chiefs have been doing this thing for 10 years now.
Well, the 49ers won their first in 81 and then won their last in 94. So that was over a 14 year period.
Two coaches, 2 quarterbacks, a lot of change there. Giants had a couple of championships in between as well, you know. So I think people are looking at this thing with Kansas City like it's over here, as opposed to looking at like what the Chiefs are doing. It's harder to win in the NFL now than it's ever been before. I just think the Chiefs get totally undervalued when it comes to dynasty talk.
Oh, see, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I think that you know, getting to 3 Super Bowls in a row is a pretty special accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a little recency bias because they got blown out in their last one.
Sure,
That, you know, we're hesitant to really label them that way. You know, all the Super Bowls that New England lost were very close games. Every one they won was pretty much a close game also. I think maybe it's hard because we're still in the middle of whatever Kansas City mm-hmm. could, you know, eventually accomplish, that we're not necessarily willing to stamp them as a dynasty. But, you know, again, getting to 5 of them in, again, maybe it was an 8 year period or something like that. I think you're probably right. We'll probably look back on it that it was a dynasty. But let's see what else they can do.
Yeah,
I mean, their run might be over. They might never win another championship with Reid and Mahomes, but we don't know that. And you know, Mahomes still got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no idea much longer Andy wants to coach. I would think that he's going to want to, you know, keep coaching as long as Mahomes wants to keep playing.
Yeah,
but I mean, I would if I was Andy Reid. I mean, anytime you have Mahomes, you always have a chance to win it. But they got to rebuild that team a little bit.
Well, Gary, we appreciate the time, and we'll continue to watch this dynasty in Kansas City as they take on Baltimore this weekend at 325. And I hope the book sells immensely out throughout the world.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, too.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet.
I told Mac yesterday, I said, we're going to talk about a dynasty. And he goes, oh, yeah, everybody considers the Chiefs a dynasty. I go, no, they don't.
It's crazy.
And right there.
My cheek is bleeding.
I was nice, wasn't I?
I was cordial.
I was not going to be nice, and I want to be professional.
I kept my mic off because I knew I was supposed to, but I wanted to be like,
this is where, like if I was your guys' like 26, 27-year-old Bob, I would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, all right, how do I? Because
I mean, I'm not about Parkins lock and forehead, that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. My stomach is churning right now because that right there is the perception that the rest of the country has of us here in Kansas City. And Gary Myers, great book, great idea. I like it. I think it gave us something.
He debunked.
He debunked.
Well, the Patriots did this and this.
Yeah, but
the G's been to 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but what about the Cowboys? But they only went to 4.
Yeah.
And the Steelers, they only went to 4.
He threw the Niners
from 81 to 94. They changed head coaches, they changed quarterbacks, the Giants dominated for a while during that, where the 49ers were an afterthought. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Did the Niners win? Was it 4?
Yeah, the Niners only won 4.
Over 13 years. Yeah. We're 8 years in 3.
And we've got 3. Yeah. Like, it's like saying the Dallas Cowboys are a dynasty still. They're not.
No.
The Dallas Cowboys aren't a relevant franchise right now. But let me say, I could feel my stomach getting to that point where I'm like, okay, this is, I got to get back out here and stop this train and educate with facts. But that's the way that we're perceived. That guy's from New York. He's a New York writer. Obviously, he thinks everything. And then he wants to take Belichick's career. Well, it doesn't matter what happened in Cleveland. It doesn't matter. No, it does. Mm-hmm. But I understand the book is about Brady and Belichick together. But the stuff away from the two guys being together does have an impact on the overall. I mean, you're clearly seeing right now, once you remove somebody from that equation, yeah, Belichick is not the same guy as he was with Tom Brady. I mean, it's obvious.
He
should have gone off on him.
Well, it's professional.
No, I'm trying to be professional. I'm getting older. I'm trying to be more professional. I thought I was pretty stern.
You were great. No, you did. Yeah, you were stern. You held your line.
I even referred to him as Gary. And you know,
I've got the audio. We'll play it on the other side.
If Bob was the dad at the holiday party, and we're his sons, he comes to us and goes, I'll take care of this. You two go outside. I'll be out shortly.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Right. That's exactly what just happened. You guys, Dusty, we heard you ran a couple weeks ago. We can't have that. You need to go outside. Go have a drink. Mac, go with him. You guys go debate yourselves.
Well,
you know, with what's going on. Because if that guy was at a donut shop and there was a New England flavor, it would be
glazing.
Glazing can be defined pretty easily. It's simply the latest term to describe what happens when someone goes too far in showing how much they like someone or something else.
But there's nothing
to the point
than
of being
glaze.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But that, again, that's the mindset. Nobody wants to let the Patriots dynasty go. Nobody wants to say that the Chiefs are anointed as the new dynasty. That interview right there should be played for these guys inside that locker room. They're basically downplaying everything that the Kansas City Chiefs have accomplished. This guy, it's the Patriots. It's New England. It's New York. We're better than everybody else. No, you can all go suck an egg or a pickle like Sean Smith told you to do, because this is a dynasty, and it's harder to win now in the NFL than it is. It is harder today to win in the NFL than it has ever been before. It'll be harder to win tomorrow than it is today in the NFL. Guys are faster, they're stronger, they're smarter, they're more talented. It's a full-time job. I mean, like, oh God, I want to just absolutely take a shot of whiskey right now.
You can. It's in Cody and Gold's
garage.
Do they
have some over there?
Oh, yes, they do.
I mean, this may be going to the garage after that interview. I told you, Mac.
You did.
I told you. And you said to me, no, everybody thinks this is a dynasty. I'm like, all right, maybe I'm wrong in this one. Immediately, do you think of this as now? What do you know? What more do they have to do? Like, what more does this team, I told you, this team's got to go out there and go 17-0 and win 35-0 in every game and win 35-0 in every playoff game. And then people will maybe say, oh, you know, the Chiefs are a nice little team. This is the image that people have. This is why it's important to continue this thing and to continue to kick ass and to continue to take names and to give everybody else in this country who's doubting this a dynasty a nice big poop burger to eat. You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Fair point. Gundy was fired yesterday. There's a local angle to it. We'll discuss on what it was and
what
life lesson.
I need a break.
No doubt. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
From the break on a hump day here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We just got done talking to Gary Myers, the New York Times best-selling author of, with a new book out called Brady vs. Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. It's released just 8 days ago. He had this to say when asked by our guy Bob Fesco, are the Chiefs a dynasty?
A dynasty? A dynasty, I think, is what happened in New England over a 20-year period.
Well, that's not sustainable.
Turn it off.
For 20 years. I mean, that's an anomaly more than a dynasty, I would think, Gary.
Well, you're probably right. And, you know, I guess if we're looking to establish, you know, dynasties, and what the Chiefs have done, getting to 5 and winning 3 over, say, an 8 or 9 year period, I mean, I guess you consider that a dynasty of sorts, but more of a short-term dynasty.
Mm, thank you, Gary. We appreciate that.
They're in the Midwest. I'm sorry. We can't honor you guys as a dynasty because you're not an East Coast juggernaut for the last 20 years that everybody at ESPN bloviated over and loved up for 20 years.
He was shocked you asked the question.
Stunned.
Like a dynasty?
Yeah, like he was surprised that like the Kansas City Chiefs, us lowly little Chiefs here in the Midwest, may be considered a dynasty and ruin your East Coast bias.
The Dallas Cowboys, who did less.
How long has Mahomes been in the league? This is year eight, nine?
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 Super Bowls in that year span. His shortest season has been losing in overtime in the AFC Championship.
That's correct.
Hey, Daryl!
And then he's got, what, 2 MVPs, 3 Super Bowl MVPs?
He was a lock for the Hall of Fame after his third year, according to the late Therese Paylor, who was a Hall of Fame voter at the time.
If they win the AFC West this year, it'd be 10 years in a row. That's a decade. Is that right?
Hey, Daryl!
And then you have not only that, but like Andy Reid. With all those wins, he's only had one season where he didn't win 10 wins in a season.
Hey, Daryl!
I'm just confused.
Well, what happened is in this country, we have allowed the East Coast to control the sports narrative in the United States of America. And we've been allowing the East Coast to disseminate this information for the better part of however long ESPN's been around since 1979. They got their foothold in Connecticut, and anything that took place in a radius between Boston and let's say Philadelphia was all that mattered to ESPN. Mm. And for whatever reason, it still feels like to this day, the only thing that matters to the East Coast Sports Network is what's taking place on the East Coast. And look, I'm not asking people to be versed in everything that happens in Kansas City if you don't live in Kansas City. I'm not asking people in Kansas City to be well-versed on everything that happens in Green Bay or Dallas. But if you're going to write a book about a dynasty and talk about a dynasty, you better have an understanding about what's going on in the current day and just not close off the door. Because if what we're going to do in the NFL now moving forward, which it sure is hell effing seems like it, is we're going to compare everything that everybody does to Brady and Belichick in that New England dynasty. If we're going to do that, then we're never going to let anybody be better than the New England Patriots and better than Bill Belichick and better than that dynasty and whatnot. So I just don't think everything needs to be compared to that. And if it's not a 20-year run of excellence, then it doesn't count and it's not up there and it's not considered a dynasty. Each dynasty can be talked about and discussed in its own way. If you win more than one championship in like a 5-year span and you're still going to championship games and Super Bowls, that's a dynasty in this day and age in professional sports. Teams are built to last maybe 1 or 2 years in professional sports, and then it's turnover. The way that they have kept this thing together from Alex Smith to turning it over to Patrick Mahomes and turning over the defense and constantly having new players and continuing to win and continuing to be on top how in your right mind can you sit there and tell me that this is not a dynasty? Oh, I know, because it ruins every effing narrative that you've ever created, and you don't want things to change because you're trying to peddle a book.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't been this hot in a while, dude.
Yeah. Well, it was cold in here.
It was, yes.
Yes. Somebody says, hey, Bob, while you're feeling spicy, what's the latest on stadium news? Let's stir the pot a little bit.
119th and all for the Royals, and I don't know about the Chiefs right now. I just don't know about them right
somebody
now.
Somebody says, 816, hey, Gary, kiss my ass.
Yeah, hey, Gary,
kiss my ass.
I mean, Ben, to sit there and to say, like, and you're right, Mac, like, that was the part that took me by, like, what the answer should have been is, like, yeah, it's definitely a dynasty. It's not a 20-year run yet, but it's definitely a dynasty. He was legitimately offended that I asked that question.
You're coming on the Kansas City market. Dude, we're talking about the Patriots dynasty, but what do you think we're going to do in our market? We're going to relay it to what's happening here. You're not ready to talk about the current dynasty?
Right.
The team that owns the NFL?
The Eagles?
Get bent, Gary.
So yesterday,
Eagles.
What?
Get bent.
So Mike Gundy got released yesterday from duties.
Not as bad as Rothstein, but up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Josh during the Rothstein interview. You said I was the dad. Josh during the Rothstein interview just took over. Okay.
I mean,
when that guy said to Kling, have you ever watched a college basketball game? And he was doing pre and post for KU for 10 years.
Oh, as soon as I asked the question, you know, and I looked right at Mac and I was like, I'm not saying anything else. Like, not worth my time. I'm not doing this. I'm gonna take the high road and just be like, all right, Gary, you're wrong, and you know, stick to writing books and not giving takes on dynasties. We all thrive other places, and that's no longer in Stillwater for Mike Gundy.
No,
he
it's
has
not.
Been fired.
You've wanted this for a while, though.
Yeah, I thought, you know, we had a topic a couple weeks ago where I was like, we might see, you know, two legendary coaches for their universities be sent out the door. One is, you know, hanging in the balance in Clemson. I don't know how much longer they're going to let Dabo continue to lose his mind in press conferences, because as we've always seen in sports, we notice this throughout time. There's always a moment in a press conference where you can think when things aren't going well, the coach will kind of give you an indication of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be really interested to give a different topic. I'd be really interested to see if Baltimore loses this game to the Chiefs this Sunday and they go to 1-4, what the conversation, or 1-3, what the conversation will be in Baltimore about John Harbaugh, right? Lose to Mahomes in the playoffs, got to the AFC Championship game, lost to Buffalo last year. Now all of a sudden your team is 1-4 or 1-3, and it seems there's a little bit of a turn, because in the NFL and in college football, it's not, what have you done for me over time? What are you doing for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
And lately, Mike Gundy has not been good, and getting blown out at home, passionate fan base. I know this. I have family in Oklahoma. They're divided, kind of like in Missouri, where you're Cardinal or you're Royal. It's way worse in Oklahoma if you're Sooner or you're Cowboy.
Yeah.
And the Cowboy fans are passionate. The boosters are passionate.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to zig while everybody else zagged with the way that you wanted to build your university and your football team, and it didn't work. And now all of a sudden, Oklahoma State said, sorry, buddy, but you're gone.
Yeah, you're gone. And it was the right thing to do. He lost 11 of 12. And then, you know,
never had a dynasty.
No, never did. Right. Exactly. But he was a guy that wouldn't evolve with what was going on in college sports right now. And that's what you have to do. A lot of us don't like, you know, what's going on in college sports. I like the NIL, but I understand why if you're a coach, you wouldn't like the NIL. But if you want to, you know, coach in college sports, you have to deal with it. Ask Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski and Nick Saban and Bruce Pearl the other day. All these guys that have retired and walked away from the sport, they're not walking away because they were done coaching. They're walking away because they're done dealing with the bull crap that's out there right now. Yeah,
Kling.
So if you're going to be a coach in college sports at this day and age, you have to deal with the bull crap. And if you don't want to deal with the bull crap, well, then you got to find another job and something else to do. But the local angle for me is where this thing gets really, really interesting. And I was looking at ESPN yesterday, and they had like five candidates that could replace Gundy down there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is Colin Klein.
For sure.
And he was obviously the great quarterback over at K-State. He's at Texas A&M now. I think it's Texas A&M calling the plays down there as their offensive coordinator. But that link is always important, right? You want, you know, it's always one of our guys. Hire a Michigan man, they always would say, right? And so now you've got the opportunity where Colin Klein's name is hot out there right now. This really reminds me of the Brad Underwood situation when K-State, you know, had, I forget who it was. I think it was Bruce Weber was their basketball coach. And Brad Underwood was going to be available out there. And K-State wouldn't fire Bruce Weber to get Brad Underwood. And we know what Brad Underwood has gone on to do. He coached at Oklahoma State for a hot minute, then has been at Illinois and has done a really nice job there. And I think K-State fans are still kind of, you know, ruining the day that they didn't get Brad Underwood as their basketball coach. And so I don't know if this is a situation, bad year for Chris Klieman to have a down year right now at Kansas State, because if Colin Klein is available, you know, every K-State, and Mac, you got K-State family right now. I'm sure they've been talking about Colin Klein potentially being the coach, because I've heard it from K-Staters. A friend of mine texted me about it a couple weeks ago. Maybe Colin Klein could get the K-State as their new head coach eventually and whatnot. So bad year, I think, right now to have a down year at K-State to be Chris Klieman, because the last thing you want to do is see Colin Klein be the head coach of Oklahoma State in your conference and lead your team, your opponent, to victory over what you're doing at K-State right now. I'm not advocating for Chris Klieman to be fired at all. I think he's a good coach, but I know how college sports fans operate.
I'd also like to see what Klieman's buyout is, if it's somewhere up there in the in big money. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's been disastrous for K-State this year.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's not been great. I mean, it started in Dublin. It was a bad showing. You had Avery Johnson, who was supposed to be a sleeper Heisman candidate.
Right.
Their offensive coordinator doesn't know how to use him. And we'll see what Colin Klein does, because I think that if I was an up-and-coming coach, that would be a job that you would most definitely want to take in Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
I know the Big 12 may not be the most, you know, powerful conference anymore in football, but I mean, it's a conference. If you have the right guy that can get the right players and shift the NIL thing, you can make noise in the Big 12. There's not a, I mean, there are teams, you know, Utah's good. Texas Tech is good.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is better. They've gotten better over time with Leipold.
Iowa State.
You know, who knows, man? I mean, if I'm Oklahoma State, you got to start looking at anybody and everybody that you can get back into. Because, again, like I said, a very, very, very passionate fan base. Similar to Manhattan. Very, very passionate. It's what they love. It's what they need. And, again, I think you could have asked a lot of people yesterday, was Gundy's firing the right time or was it too late? And I'd like to know what the shift of the poll would be there when it shift of the poll, where that would be when it comes to, like, if they said it was too late or it was right timing. Because I think they would say it was probably 2 years too late.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, though, because he didn't get bad until last year, right? And so you have one bad year. There's, I think, a grace period for a guy. But once he starts going off the rails and talking about the NIL and all that, like, because that yesterday, the athletic director and president of the university had to come out and basically say, we're not a poor university. Our people just didn't want to give to this guy anymore. And that's kind of where they are. Once the money runs out, you've run out, right? Once you stop generating revenue for your company, they're going to send you down the river. They're going to put you on your you know, your fanny out the door. And that's what they did to Gundy. He needed to embrace the new era of college sports. And you're right. It is very much like Manhattan, Kansas. It's not the flagship university of the state, but it's a damn good university with passionate people and money.
Oh, yeah.
And they just want to win. And they'll go out and they'll try to find that right guy that they can pay, you know, all that money to. And I hate to say this right now because it sounds really weak, but Oklahoma State could be a good stepping stone job for somebody too, you know, to get you to that next level.
Especially if you do it the way that schools are starting to do it, where they have, you know, general managers. You look at Stanford, they brought in Andrew Luck, a former player, great Stanford player. Maybe Oklahoma State does that. You know, maybe they bring in a former player as well.
They had him.
That's fair.
I mean, other than Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Who else is there for Oklahoma State?
Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon would be good. He played for the Yankees and for the Cowboys.
He got drafted age 28 in the NFL. I don't know. You have to look. I mean, I don't know. This is just one of those things where, look, they called it into their season right now.
Yeah.
They said, this is it. You know it. We know it. 66-7, 58-17, whatever the scores
have been. And they lost to Tulsa.
That's an in-state rivalry. I do want to bring this up because there's a topic here that says the Titans are open for business. Mac, you come from, we got you from Tennessee, so we know that business is an open portal.
The home of Tupelo Honey.
Yeah. Shout out Van Morrison. But we know that there is one of Veach's understudies now as the general manager in Tennessee, right?
Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah. So is there any sort of value in Tennessee that you could bring into Kansas City? Because they are going to fire their coach. They're going to bring in somebody that is offensive-minded.
Oh, that's right. That coach and GM aren't tied together at all.
No, they're not.
Not at all.
And that GM is tied to that quarterback.
Yeah.
Because that was his first pick,
First
overall pick, Cam Ward. And Cam Ward has shown signs when he's able to do what he wants to do, he can make things happen. And Callahan right now ain't the answer. Maybe he wants to go to Oklahoma State. But I don't know if there's anything in there that you can get from Tennessee or where you could pick them apart. Maybe defensive linemen, they have a ton. What's Simmons' contract? What do you want to, you know, give up for that?
Yeah, I wish.
Because I know the big big news yesterday was Mecole Hardman was released from the practice squad from the Green Bay Packers.
Who cares?
Here we go.
How
again.
Long?
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
What does he really do for us now?
The playbook.
Yeah, right.
They scored a game-winning touchdown.
The issue is running back and offensive line for the Chiefs right now. It is not wide receiver at this point in time. You're getting two guys back right now. And so yesterday they traded a nobody out of, you know, Tennessee, but that got me to thinking a little bit.
Stupid trade by the Titans. If you know the Titans roster, it was a terrible trade.
Was it a bad trade?
It's a starter who's a good player who's not making any money. Why would you trade him for nothing?
Maybe he's a pain in the ass.
Maybe you know, you're right. There's stuff behind the scenes.
Who got cut yesterday by the Houston Texans? C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah.
Got cut yesterday, and they flat out said, this guy sucks as a human, and we had to get rid of him.
Jeez.
I mean, like, there's underlying things there, man. You don't want to be the jerk at the office. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, based on those comments yesterday, like, this guy wasn't a fit personality-wise. He had to go.
Ten toes.
Yeah, there you go.
He got Baker fired up, and they lost.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember Baker pulled his hamstring and reattached it right after he talked to C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah.
Literally, it happened. He fell down, grabbed his leg, got up, was like, 10 toes, mother, you know what?
It makes sense why he's on a different team every year.
Right.
He sucks as a person.
He sucks as a person. You don't want that guy around. We all dealt with those people over the course of our lives.
He gave us a nice answer at the opening ceremony of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, he did.
How do you stop Patrick Mahomes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were like, they don't know, man.
One time he was quiet.
Yeah, the one time he actually knew how to stop Patrick Mahomes and wasn't going to give us the 411 on that.
Foreshadowing.
Anyway, so it looks like they are open for business. And I started to look at their roster positions. Is Tony Pollard worth like a sixth-round pick at this point
in time? You would love that. He's got juice left.
Because he's 27 years old and doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires. And he's their number one running back right now. And if you're going to start piecemealing this team off, which is what they should do if you're Tennessee right now, start piecemealing anybody of value and get picks back in return. With the relationship that Veach and Borgonzi have, you call down there and you go, dude, I'll flip you a sixth, maybe a fifth if worst case scenario, and you give me Tony Pollard. I need a running back. Like, that's the type of move that I would be interested in making for this organization, because that gives you a good player, not great, but a good player, better than what you have at a position of need. I don't think Mecole Hardman makes you any better as a team, but I think Tony Pollard could make you better from a running game standpoint than obviously what you have right now.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah,
Tony Pollard's better than Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco combined.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
for
like,
sure.
So
what's Cal Ridley doing while we're at it?
You're not going forward, though, in Tennessee. They've already waved the white flag. Right? Once they made that trade, they have told you they are open for business. Nobody else is doing that. So you burn up the line with the guy who's willing to sell right now. All right, what do you got back there? Yeah, they're gonna. So if you're firing your coach at the end of the year, and this is a for everybody out there, start trading your valuable assets right now and get those draft picks back in return, because your new coach isn't going to want most of these people anyway that are hanging out.
I would call New Orleans before I would call Tennessee, though.
Yep, New Orleans would be a great call.
New Orleans hasn't officially waived the white. Tennessee did that yesterday. They made a trade yesterday.
New Orleans hasn't done it yet, but when they play Buffalo this week in Buffalo as 15.5-point dogs, and Tyler Shuck is their quarterback, and they lose 45-12. Yeah.
You think they're going to score 12?
Wow. I mean, that's maybe, you know. But again, I think when you see that, then all of a sudden it's like, Alvin, I know you don't want to finish your career this way. There's some help over here we could use from you.
How's he doing this year? He concerns me with age, that he would come in here and it'd be like a Le'Veon Bell, LaShawn McCoy type thing.
Oh, no, he's still good. He's 30 years old. Okay. He's still got a top half running back.
What would you give up for him then?
A third round pick.
At most, I'd rather a fourth, just because of the... It depends, too, like the contract. That's why Pollard, I kind of like Tony Pollard, too, because it's cheap.
It's
like no risk, possible huge reward.
Yep.
I loved that you mentioned a little tread on the tires. Like, you got to remember, at Dallas, he was not the starting running back there. He was RB2, and he was great in his usage there. Mm-hmm. RB1 with the Titans for one season so far. That's it. And it's not like they ran the ball a lot last season. So I kind of like where you're headed with Pollard. But, yeah, Alvin Kamara would be dynamite. That would be what get the fans going. But I think you call the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, too. Rashad White, dude, he has not played
local
over...
Local kid.
Hasn't played over 31% of the snaps. He got five carries last week, two carries in week one. In week two, they used him like 10 carries, but like they are not using him, and he is just, he's damn good.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe they're saving him in case something happens, because there is still a team in contention.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. I wouldn't imagine they're looking to trade guys. You have to find these losers, like the Jets with Breece Hall or, you know, somebody like that. But I just think, like, from acquisition cost to where we are, that's fine. You get sports horny, you do your thing.
Hey.
But I think, like, I hate to use the term easiest, but more logical, a guy that you could acquire right now. I don't think at the trade deadline you go make big splashes in the NFL. You just don't. It doesn't happen. But if you can get a piece like Tony Pollard to come in here, he makes you exponentially better at that position than where you are right now.
Alvin, pass catcher, too.
Exactly. And you don't have to offer a lot.
Alvin Kamara, as a running back, is averaging 3.7 yards a carry, and he has 62-yard average a game. Whereas on the receiving side, where he's also electric, he has he's averaging – almost five and a half receptions a game for 15.7 yards a game. So you have the dual threat there that you're so wanting to have in Kansas City. From the YouTube thread from Brendan, I don't think that was Gary. I think that was Jordan using a voice filter. Take the afternoon. Coming up on the other side, we go back to it. We get to On the Come here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back in on the show here that we call Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you on a Wednesday. Mac, looks like another solid opportunity for you to take a nap today. You know how Spec used to do when he was in your position?
Nap Wednesday. Nap Wednesday, yeah.
That's right. Big opportunity today. I was going to say Gary Myers, more like Gary Mayonnaise. They just keep coming in.
Do people know who Gary Myers is? Play that cut
they do
for
now.
Them so they know who Gary Myers is.
My ears. Give me a second. No, you couldn't find it. That's awesome. Love it.
A dynasty?
Buffer. Not,
I mean, a dynasty, I think, is what happened in New England over a 20-year period.
Well, that's not sustainable in any sport for 20 years. I mean, that's an anomaly more than a dynasty, I would think, Gary.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. And,
thank you.
You know, I guess if we're looking to establish, you know, dynasties, and what the Chiefs have done, getting to five and winning three over, say, an 8 or 9 year period, I mean, I guess you consider that
6 year period
a dynasty of sorts, but more of a short-term dynasty.
Why would you peasants in the Midwest be asking my East Coast self this question? That's what that was. Because I asked, do you consider the Chiefs a dynasty? And that the answer, a dynasty?
Dynasty.
Like he'd never heard that before.
Like, oh, I guess. Well, how pompous.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I think he's going to have a new book, and I think the title of his new book is...
BBL Stinky. Boy, we just shot down his book. I mean, like, just destroyed your book, man. Sorry, but, like, facts matter.
How many times did the Chiefs spy on other teams? Well, I think that,
how many times did they deflate balls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, the worst thing we did is have, you know, Taylor Swift part of our fandom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other team cheated. BBL Stinky.
You better
believe. Gary.
Let's get to On the Come. We haven't done it for a while, so Mac, why don't you go ahead and hit it?
On the Come.
It's been so long for me. Can you do it again?
On the Come.
You needed a mulligan. So again, the concept of On the Come is what we're going to see moving forward, and you brought this up, I believe, yesterday, Bob. You know, which young players, Royals and Chiefs, would you be willing to invest in the future?
Yeah, I got this email
from
this.
Guys that have not been paid.
Yeah,
so
right,
can't
exactly.
Invest in Bobby. You can't, right. You know what I mean?
Doesn't make any sense to invest in somebody who's making $350 million. So I get this email yesterday or 2 days ago from this guy, and it's a company called Finleet, F-I-N-L-E-T-E. And they're a startup company on a mission to help athletes who haven't cashed in yet. And so right now, you can invest in Royals rookie pitcher Luinder Avila, who has burst onto the scene with a 0.77 ERA over his first 11 2/3 innings, right? So he's very new. Somebody in another organization was telling me about this kid. They think he's going to be pretty good. Great. That's neither here nor there. Basically, this company allows you to invest money into athletes that haven't been paid yet. And then when they get paid,
yeah,
you get a portion of your proceeds kinda back cool. in return, right? It seems like a pretty cool concept to do, right? And so I was on their website the other day to kind of figure out what exactly this is all about. How much money can I truly make? It's basically you're loaning the athlete money while they have no money living in the minor leagues. And so the average journey, the average investor is like this. You buy 400 shares at like $1.25 per share, and that's a $500 investment. Mm-hmm. The athlete then earns a $100 million contract. FinLeet distributes $1 million, and for your 400 shares, you'll get $3,600 in return. So you invest basically $500 to get $3,600 in return. You're mm-hmm. betting a guy that's going to be on the come. So if you had an opportunity to invest in a player here in Kansas City on this app, and it's real money, this isn't gambling, this is real money you're investing, this is like the stock market type stuff, who would you be putting your money on right now if you had $500 lying around to invest in an unpaid Kansas City athlete? Who would it be for you guys?
Because technically they're all paid, but not right. like the right now it's Josh Simmons.
No, that's a good one. Yeah,
heck yeah. Yeah.
In my opinion, that is my football one. My baseball one would be Noah Cameron. Now I know. Yeah. We've had conversations that, you know, there's some people that think that he could be a valuable trade piece, but he's not flashy. He's not going to be expensive if you pay him now. So you're investing, even though it's not a huge investment. You can still use some of that money. Now, obviously, I'm still on the Cags bandwagon. I'm not going to let 70 games, not 70 games, but I'm not going to let whatever, yeah, probably around 70 games define who he is with ups and downs and not really, you know, everywhere. But my number one answer is Josh Simmons because of what his position holds, what he's shown already, and what he could be. Like you had mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago that Josh Simmons could still be the left tackle after Mahomes is gone.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, that means the investment was done well. That means the money was well spent. And that means that Patrick Mahomes should probably have a good amount of protection from that left tackle spot, which is the blind side, which has been the spot that has not been filled for him. It's been, what, 5 or 4 different guys since Mahomes has been the starter in the league?
Yep.
It's insane. So that's where my money would go.
Mac, where are you going on this one?
For the Chiefs, I'll go Rashee Rice if I've got his protection.
I like that. Yeah,
give me a guy to throw to, and Rashee Rice. I think, Bob, you mentioned it. Like, if he keeps playing the way we've seen him play in his short time here, he could end up being the next Tyreek Hill, the next best of all time.
I mean,
in
before
a Chief
all this stuff went down with Rashee Rice, the injury I'm talking about, they were saying we expect him to be the best wide receiver in team history.
And instead of being Tyreek Hill, he'd be your Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. Yes.
Similar body size.
Yep. Similar body size, yards after the catch, and they'd play longer together. Give me Rashee Rice, man. He could be a bona fide stud.
I like that. For me, I'm Carter Jensen on this one. I love what I've seen out of him so far. I would also do Mikel Garcia because he's not making any money right now and is poised to kind of cash in.
Got great genetics, too.
What's that?
He's got great genetics.
Oh, yes, he does. The whole family's fantastic. Oh, yeah. I mean, for people who don't know, he's related to the Acuñas. Yes.
That's the baseball version of tight end played basketball.
Yeah. Right. Trent McDuffie, and then also kind of just based on the first three games, this is where you make your money. Norman Lear, man. I like what Omar Norman Lear is doing for the Chiefs right now. So based on the three games, that's the long shot, you know, right now, defensive lineman, rookie, 3 games in. But your 500 may turn into something really, really good if you invest in a guy like that. So you got to find these guys that you think are really low on the totem pole money-wise, but you think, man, that guy's going to be the one. Imagine if you cashed in on Bobby Witt early on. Now, the players have to be willing to do this because this is money that goes directly to them. I had somebody tell me it's kind of exploitation of players, and I think a lot of people in the sports are against it, but it's still a fun topic and fun to discuss. And at the end of this article that this guy sent me, he says, you know, he's a Kansas City native. So I emailed him. I said, I'd love to talk to you about this and get some more information. And he goes, AI generated that. I'm not a Kansas City native. I go, it also put your phone number as 555-123-456. I'm not kidding. Look at the bottom of the email. I said that back to him in return. So do not use AI. Do not, because it had this guy's, so that's what really got me interested. I'm like, this guy's in Kansas City and they're doing this locally? That's a cool local company. And then I saw his number was 555-123-456-7, and I'm like, maybe he just forgot that. And then he told me, AI said I was from Kansas City. I'm like, how much of this is? But still fun to talk about.
Still good fodder, yep.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, he and the Royals were eliminated yesterday with a Cleveland Guardians win. We talked to Matt Cotrero, the Royals manager, 1, maybe 2 more times the rest of the season here on 96.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
By the Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.